a great blessing to be in the house of the Lord tonight. A great privilege to be able to be here with you in Stratton Church. And it's even greater blessing to be able to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very thankful for what's gone before and the song service and this day and last night and good humble prayers that have been offered up. But I have a thought on my mind, and there's a verse that I want to just take the thought from. It's in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. And just kind of go from there. The Apostle Paul here writing the church at Rome, verse 13, he says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren." You know, the word ignorant, the Apostle Paul uses it, I think it's about 12 times, 12 verses that he uses all through the New Testament. And there's one or two verses that he actually uses the word twice in the verse. And I think Peter uses it a couple of times in his epistles and then once there in the book of Acts. And the word ignorant, when you start looking at it and studying it for what it means, is to be without knowledge or not knowing. Now, this day and time, that word has been used in a very different way, to be very derogatory and meaning and to mean things that the Bible does not teach. But what Paul is saying here to the church at Rome, to his brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, he says, "I want you to know what I know."
Amen.
Now, the Apostle Paul knew a whole lot more than I did. But that was because of the grace of God. He knew that.
Amen.
But brothers and sisters, I've been taught some things this weekend. I've been reminded of some things this weekend. Because the Lord has blessed men to come up and preach the gospel with power and demonstration. But he says that, "I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren." And was thinking on this week, this thought's been on my mind about knowing things, understanding things, being taught some things. You know, that's all the knowing something is you have to be taught things. You know, we learn things from a little bitty baby from the time we enter into this world. We're taught things just by from our parents or our experiences. We learn things constantly. But there's a lot that we are taught through the Word of God. There's a lot of things that without the gospel, we would not know. Now, I'll ask you a question. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ had came to this earth and walked it for some 33 and a half years and went to the cross and died and redeemed us and paid for our sins but never told us anything about it, would that make us less redeemed? No. But brothers and sisters, there's a great joy. There's a great peace. There's a comfort. There's a hope that we have through this knowledge, through what we've been blessed in. Yes, we have a hope in what Jesus Christ has done for us. We have a hope in what he is doing for us or will do for us, and that he is to give. He can give us so much more than what we ask for, so much more, you know, than what we can ask or think of. But brothers and sisters, what a blessing it is when we know these things. You know, one of the places that I believe the Apostle Paul, in writing, he was wanting to tell his Jewish brother, he wanted to tell the Hebrews about some things that he knew, that he had learned, some better things, some better promises, some better covenant. He wanted to tell the children of Israel, those that are his Jewish brethren, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about all these better things. But you know, when you start at the very first of reading the book of Hebrews, you know, I always tell people I'm kind of a simple-minded man. I've done maintenance work and several different things all through my career, worked in tool and die shops. I always get back to the very basic when I started working on something. Where do we start? Is it plugged in? Is that the problem? Is the switch turned on? You know, that
right.
I've been called out on a lot of jobs. It won't come on. Reach over and plug the machine in. You know, that's the basics. And that's where we need to start. Or be reminded to go back to that sometimes.
Amen.
To the very basics.
Amen.
You know, he told Peter there, he asked Peter, Jesus did, John, he said, "Do you love me?" He said, "Thou knowest I love you." He said, "Then feed my lambs." You know, those lambs, they have to be fed. Those babes in Christ, That's the same food that a sheep can feed on.
Amen.
That's a lot of times that's what we need to go back to.
Amen.
So I'll just look for a little bit this tonight. And there in the book of Hebrews, it's kind of there. And I have another place I might go. I'm going to give Brother James plenty of time. But when you look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 1, you're thinking about this letter being written. Now, Paul, you know, he doesn't start off here, I think, it, like he does in so many others. And even it's been brought out today about the book of James there, being James being the half-brother of Jesus Christ. They start off by what is the most important thing, being a servant of God, being a, you know, called of God. You know, all through Paul's epistles, all those different things, he will start off being, you know, saying he was a, you know, an apostle, called of God, called of Jesus Christ. He starts off with the most important thing. He lays the foundation of where he's going to start, what he's going to build on. And that's the exact same thing that happens here in the book of Hebrews. They start with a foundation. Without that good foundation, the rest of it's going to be crumbling. It's going to be crumbling down. It's going to be hard to prove what the Bible teaches if somebody doesn't have that foundation. And a lot of times we have to teach or unteach some things that have been taught. You know where the very first place, the very first word in the book of Hebrews starts with? God. You can't start in a better place than that right there. God. That's the best place that you can start. And you think about if you were going to lay out a discussion. I sometimes say an argument, but I don't want to argue. I don't want to discuss the scripture of someone who may have a different opinion of what their theology and what we believe is taught in the Bible. You know, I always want to go back. Well, okay, let's start with the very first thing, God. That's the very first thing that Moses, when writing the first five books of the Bible, he says, in the beginning, God. That is that foundation. No matter where we start, the brother was talking about this morning there in Genesis about how, you know, the things that are being taught about evolution and all those things. If you just go right back to the beginning, we can show real quick where the thoughts and the theories of evolution are just that, thoughts and theories.
Right.
Because when you start with God, in the beginning of time as we know it, there was only one thing, God.
Amen.
And you have to go from there. And that's the same as what, here in Hebrews, it starts with God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Here he writes, he says, who in sundry times, at different times and in different manners, he spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He was sending out men. He had called. God sent out men to teach so they would not be ignorant. He called a great prophet, not the great prophet, but a great prophet in Moses. We've heard about him a little bit about, you know, some of the things he did this weekend. But Moses, he was given the law. He was told by God to go forth and what to say to Pharaoh, to lead his people out. You know, he started out being raised up there in Pharaoh's own house. He learned some things. I don't know if it was in one of the conversations, maybe one of the brothers that spoke this weekend already, but you know, that first 40 years, he learned about being, you know, their Egyptian. He learned about their gods, their false gods, their idols. But then he learned on the backside of that desert that there's more than just what he had been brought up in. He learned he was, as Brother James says, who am I? But he learned that it is not about I, it's about God.
Amen.
And then he come forth. In those next 40 years, following after the Lord, looking to him, he was a prophet. God would send him and say, thus saith the Lord. You know, today, we don't have prophets in the way that God called Moses and Elijah and all the different prophets and everything. But, you know, we still can get up here and say, thus saith the Lord, because of what he has left us with in the gospel. The good news. The teachings of God.
Amen.
We have these 66 books today. They've been preserved for God's people and will be until the end of time, until the Lord comes back. Somewhere there's going to be the truth of the gospel. God has promised there will be his word will never fail. It will be here until the end of time.
Amen.
It will not fade away. But brothers and sisters, there's some things we need to do to understand that word. Mm. Is to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it. Come out to the house of God where it's preached with power and demonstration. I love sitting down at home and reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God. I love discussing with people about what does this verse mean or what do you see in this. But brothers and sisters, when we come to the house of God, this is where God said He would come down and meet with us. His Spirit comes. And if you haven't felt the Spirit in just the singing tonight or this weekend, brothers and sisters, something's wrong. I mean, I love coming to a good meeting here at the camp meeting or wherever it may be, because the Lord has blessed us and has come down, and we feel that Spirit. But it's not just in the singing, it's in the prayers, the heartfelt Amen. Prayer. It's in the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Because no man can preach without the Spirit of God.
Amen.
No man. If y'all knew me more before I tried to start speaking, you would say amen for sure. This was one of the last places that I ever wanted to be, was standing in front and center of the whole congregation. But God gives the power.
That's right.
God gives the ability.
Amen.
That's where the knowledge starts, with a sovereign God.
Amen.
He's the one that chose the prophets. He's the one that gives the gift. He says, in times past, in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You know, the first thing Paul writes here, he starts off with God. He said you can't start with any better foundation, but he gives us one more with that. He gives us that chief cornerstone in Jesus Christ. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who is the appointed heir of all things, by whom also made the worlds. You know, if I'm going to present, you know, a case for better promises, better covenants, present a case of it is salvation by grace, I start off with God and I start off with Jesus Christ. And right there we have the two in one, part of the three in one God. You know, that God says that, you know, I cannot lie. He said he cannot lie. This is not that he won't lie. He says I cannot lie.
Right.
So everything that he has inspired, Paul and James and Peter, the apostles, the prophet, every word of the scriptures is true. Now that's up for us to study and read and rightly divide the word of truth, because there may be some things that, well, see, it contradicts here and we're here. Brother and sister, the contradiction is not in the word of God. The contradiction is in us.
Amen.
It's up to us to pray and meditate and study and to learn not to be ignorant.
Amen.
We have the word of God. Brother Euland was saying he's 91 years old. And, you know, there's still a lot of things that Brother Euland, you've heard him preach sermon after sermon after sermon. There's still things that Brother Euland would amen that he still doesn't know about the scriptures. And there's things we won't know until we're there in heaven. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't still continue to try to learn and learn more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says that hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. He's the brightness of his glory. You know, I've thought many times about, you know, the brightness. We see a light can be very bright. And it puts out what, you know, that light, that bulb or whatever can bring out. You know, there's a time that Moses wanted to see God face to face. And the Lord told him, God told him, he says, you can't see me in all my glory and live. But there's a place, there's a cleft in the rock that I'll place thee. And I'll put my hand upon you and I'll pass by. And as I pass by, I'll remove my hand and you can see my hinder parts. Just that afterglow. Brothers and sisters, and from that day on, Moses' face shined just for seeing the afterglow of his glory. His face shined so to the point that he had to put a veil over his face because the children of Israel didn't want to look upon him, couldn't look upon those things. Brothers and sisters, we have one that we can look upon in Jesus Christ. We see him by that eye of faith. He is the brightness of God's glory. Everything he did, everything he thought, everything he said while he was on this earth, give honor and glory unto the Father. Every bit of that. And you think about trying to lay out a case for whatever you're discussing with somebody. You know, Brother Mark's been in some court cases probably with some criminals, and lawyers can't stack up to what the Lord can lay it out, one thing after another. Here is the foundation. It's God, who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image. The expressed image, meaning that everything that you saw in Jesus was the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
Even to the very, every little aspect of Him. His nature, the love, the kindness, the mercy. All of those things is the expressed image of God the Father, who upholding all things by the word of His power. I love that verse right there, that part of that verse. He said, upholding all things by the word of His power. You know, talked about there in Genesis chapter 1 there, it says, in the beginning, God created. He created everything just by speaking. He said, let there be light. There was light. He said, he talked about that firmament. One of the brothers this morning, there was a firmament. There was water. There was all of that came about just by His speaking. You know what? Every bit of it is still right where He put it. Just by speaking. We still have the animals. We still have the trees. We still have the sun, the moon, the stars. All of those things, because He upholds all things by the word of His power.
Amen.
It's not going to fade away. It's not going to be destroyed until that appointed time when the Lord comes back. Jesus Christ comes back the second time without sin unto salvation. At that time, He's going to roll back the sky. He's going to call forth all that He died for. This old world is going to burn up with fervent heat, but not one moment sooner than what He wants it to be, and not one moment after what He says. It's all going to be burned up. And in a twinkle of an eye, I believe, just as quick as He calls us for, there's going to be no need for this old world.
Amen.
Contrary to what you'll hear out there that's not knowledge. He's not coming back to set up a kingdom here. He's already got a kingdom here. He's coming to take that kingdom home with Him, the one He bought and paid for. But He upholds all things by the word of His power. You know, one of the things that we can all be very, very so thankful for, that He upholds by the word of His power, is our salvation.
That's right.
When Jesus Christ said on that cross, "It is finished," it was finished.
Amen.
There was nothing else to be done as far as our redemption, our reconciliation to God. It was finished. He didn't make us into where we could be redeemed. He didn't make us redeemable. He redeemed us on that cross.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, that is upheld by the word of His power.
Amen.
I have a couple of gentlemen at work that they're of God-fearing men. Don't get me wrong. They're of a different belief that what we are. They believe in a work salvation. They say they believe in works by salvation by grace, but they always got to add something in there. You know, one of the things that we have discussions, I try to get across to someone who believes, yes, I believe in salvation by grace, if you believe, if you're baptized or whatever. I've said so many times that to me, that makes about as much sense as, and I will use a football analogy, so most of you will understand it. Then, you know, if start of a game, they kick off the football, and the team that receives the ball, their runner takes it and runs 99 yards and gets tackled 1 yard before the goal line. He got that ball 99 yards for his team. They bring in the offense. Turn it around, they hand it to the big running back. He goes 1 yard and scores the touchdown. Who gets credit for the touchdown? Not the man who ran 99 yards.
Right.
It's the man who ran 1 yard.
Amen.
If it takes us believing, being baptized, or whatever you want to add in there, Jesus doesn't get the credit. Now, they'll say He does, but brothers and sisters, you get the credit. That's
right.
Not the God that we serve. That's Amen. Not what taught. It is salvation by grace. Period. No more. It is all by what Jesus Christ has done. That's the foundation. That's where we have to start. Paul says, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There's where it starts. I know I'm not bringing anything new to you, but brothers and sisters, it's something that we need to be reminded of day in and day out.
Amen.
God and Jesus Christ is where it all starts. And then we go from there, because how quickly we forget. Now, Paul even tells us, you know, here in the second verse, Check the chapter. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He wouldn't have put that in there if he didn't know. We'll let them slip if we're not constantly, diligently thinking on him, meditating on him. I like the brother talking about the farmers laying the Bible at the end of the row. I could just imagine that. You work down one row and you come back. What's the next verse or whatever it is? And just go think on that. I've rode a lot of hours around on a lawnmower doing the same thing, thinking about a verse. Brothers and sisters, that's where our mind needs to be, upon things above. Because he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. I want to look at one place over in Genesis. Brother, when you was talking about the Noah this morning, I thought of this because of what was on my mind. And Genesis 1 and 11, and I want to just bring this point out. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. He said, let the trees and the herbs and the seed bring forth seed after his kind. You can go on to over verse 21, and God created the great quails and everything, created the moving, which the waters brought forth abundantly, and the kind of every winged fowl after his kind. He goes on every time and says to bring forth after his kind. That's upheld by the word of God.
Yes. Amen.
A monkey can't bring forth a human.
That's right. Amen.
End of subject.
Right.
But God upholds all things by the word of his power. He said what's going to bring forth a human is a human. What bring forth an animal is an animal. What bring forth seeds is trees and the flowers and the plants.
Amen.
He upholds all things. Brothers and sisters, it sounds simple. But those conversations sometimes I've had with people. They want to rob God of his glory.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They're loving people. And I believe one day they'll be there singing praises to God. But they want to rob our God, our Lord and Savior, of what he's done for us. It says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I don't know what time I started. So he says, when he had by himself purged our sins. You can't add anything to himself. That's
Amen.
One.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, I've talked about being working, doing a lot of maintenance and different things through secular jobs. Used to work at a factory. A lot of the machines run off pneumatics, off air pressure. Had two big, huge air compressors that we had to keep up. And every now and then, those things would go down and lose pressure. And water would get into the air lines. And the machines that we run, that was not good for a machine that runs off air to get water in those air lines. First thing we had to do once we got the air compressor up and going, we had to purge those lines.
That's right.
We had to get rid of some things that we didn't want in there. We would purge, but you know that water didn't. I couldn't go up there and say, water, will you please come on out? That water was just there. It didn't have a mind. It couldn't just, hey, no, I'm not. We had to force that water out. We had to put pressure on those lines. We had to open up valve to make sure every bit of that water would get out or we would run those machines. The same with our sin, brothers and sisters. It wasn't God saying, do you want to get rid of your sins? No, it was by the power of God we were purged from our sins.
Amen.
He paid for those things.
Amen.
That's the foundation we have to start with. That's where we stand. We stand upon God. We stand upon that chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ. He's the one that has purged our sins. He's the one that has redeemed us.
Amen.
He's the one that is going to come back and take us home at the end of time. As he has promised those things.
Amen.
He has purged our sins by himself and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And why he sat down at the majesty on high? Because that job was finished.
Yeah.
Now, he's still there making intervention for us. He's still things that he's doing. But when he came to this old low ground of sin and sorrow, and he went to that cross, whenever he knew, as the brother said, he knew what he was going to face. But he willingly came down. He willingly laid down his life because he knew that's what it was going to take to redeem his bride. No one caught him off guard.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he told the Father, send me.
Yeah.
I'll go. That's the power. I can't fathom the power. But I know Scripture says that by himself he purged our sin. He took those sins away from us as far as the east is from the west, never to return.
Yeah.
Now, brothers and sisters, that don't mean we aren't sinners. And we still sin.
Yeah.
But that condemnation has been put away forever by his power. And he is now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. We start with God. We look at the chief cornerstone, and that's where we finish it. I want to look at one other place. I know from time's sake, I had two or three other places I thought I might go, but I want to go one other place, and it talks about not being ignorant. Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Verse 13, Apostle Paul here writing says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Paul says here, another one of those places, he says, "I want you to know what I know. Not to be ignorant. And concerning those that sleep, those that have gone on to be with the Lord before us. Those that have breathed out their last breath." He says there that even concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now that verse there tells us, it doesn't say don't sorrow. When you lose a loved one or a parent or a sibling or a good friend or whoever it is, someone you dearly love, it doesn't say to sorrow. Scripture even said, Jesus wept there at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus wept. You know, he cried. He knew. He knows what it is for us to hurt, to lose someone. But he says, not to sorrow as those who have no hope. Brothers and sisters, we have a hope. We have an earnest expectation. It is in God. It is in Jesus Christ, that chief cornerstone. That he has said, it was finished. We are redeemed. We have a home in heaven. Brothers and sisters, whenever we go to the grave of a loved one, when we're there in a service, maybe at the time that they're breathing out their last breath, yes, it's a time of sorrow, but at the same time, I'm thankful for what we've been blessed to see and know. I rejoice in knowing they're not hurting anymore. I rejoice in knowing that's not the end. It is the end of us having fellowship right here and right now, but there's still coming a day when there'll be no end. There's a day when we will see the Lord part the sky. Yes, we'll see it. We'll see it with our own eyes, brothers and sisters, whether we're in that grave, whether we're walking around. He even goes on and tells us that even those that are alive and still here on the earth, it won't hinder the Lord. Let me just read the word of God here. So if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and reign unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Just because there's people here, and yes, there'll be people here still worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth when he comes back. But he comes back, parts that sky. He won't do that until the last hour of grace is born again. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when he comes back, all that he died for, all that he paid for on that cross, we'll be with him. Whether they're in the grave, they'll come forth. Those that are alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. These old carnal, sinful bodies, they're not going to be there. They're going to be changed. We're going to be just like him, body, soul, and spirit. Brothers and sisters, that's something that I'm so thankful for that the Lord has blessed me to see. That I'm so thankful that through his scripture, I have hope. I have hope that I'll see my mother, my brothers that have gone on before, my loved ones. dear saints in the house of God that are no longer with us. He would not have you to be ignorant, brother. Even in those times when we do sorrow, He is our comforter. He is there for us to give us that strength to get through that day, whatever it is that we need for that day. He said, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That means there's no end. There's not going to be 10,000 years. I know the songwriter just did the best he could with Amazing Grace, but brother and sister will always be there with you. I look forward to that day. In that last verse, he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these things." You know, we're comforted with the Word of God, by the gospel of good news, is not being ignorant, trusting, studying, looking forward to the Lord. Several years ago, even though I knew some things of the Word of God, what I'd been taught by family and loved ones, grandparents, there was not a peace that I found like in the old Baptist church. Oh, I thought I had peace and comfort out in the world. I found out I didn't know nothing. But I've had brothers and sisters of all ages have taught me things, so I'm not ignorant. Now, I don't mean that I still ain't got a lot to learn. But brothers and sisters, what we have learned and we have been blessed, as Jesus Himself said, you know, that He's hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. What He has blessed us to see is a great peace and comfort. Brothers and sisters, let's continue to study and read, coming to the house of the Lord, praying for the ministers, praying that God would give us more knowledge and see Him better than we have in the days before. I thank you for your kind attention. Please pray for Brother James.
195.
How firm the foundation.